My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I am Natasha.
And I am Christine.
And I am Alex.
Today, we are going to be digging into the TV adaptation of Fallout. Woo! With my special guest, my brother. He's a big fan.
Our special guest. Alex, tell us about your Fallout fandom life.
I have been a fan of Fallout since 2007 when I first heard about the game.
Oh yeah, Fallout, should we give 3. A background of what Fallout even is?
Fallout is it's a video game franchise. It's developed by Bethesda Game Studios, and they've been around. It's actually been around since the 90s.
Yeah, that's wild.
But Bethesda acquired the rights back in like 2000 something, and then they made Fallout 3 in 2008. So yeah, I've been playing since.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
that's when I graduated high school.
We were in our freshman year of high school. Yeah. And he was so young playing the games. But the show just dropped on the Amazon Prime last month. So we've had like kind of a month to sit
and digest it.
I wish like I had rewatched it again for this episode.
Yeah, it's so good. So if anyone knows nothing about video games, doesn't like video games, like the show is excellent. You don't need any background to watch the show. It's on Amazon Prime, which is pretty easily accessible because most of us have Prime nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's starring the girl from Yellow Jackets who plays Jackie.
She's also in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Ella Purnell.
It also has a lot of other people you'll recognize.
Walton Goggins.
Yeah, it's Jonathan Nolan and his wife Lisa Joy, who also are responsible for the best season one of a television show of all time, Westworld. When I heard that they were doing Fallout, I was like, oh, fork. I'm watching Fallout the second it drops. And all dropped at once, so it was an easy binge.
I kind of wish that they had done like the episode per week.
No.
Because we watched it like once a night, one episode a night. And I feel like that was good because it was still like fresh in our minds, but we didn't like hardcore binge it, like one day.
I binge in 2 days or 3 days.
I just love the social media. Like it comes in and it goes
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, I think not enough people were talking about it.
That's true.
The zeitgeist longer.
Did it get picked up for season two? Do we know?
I don't know.
I think it might have.
Yeah.
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah. It's so good.
Very popular. Yeah.
Everyone was talking about it for like a week because it dropped like a binge. Right. It was 7 or 8 episodes all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched yet, highly recommend go watch now. And then you can come back and discuss it with us. It's got Westworldy vibes. It's got, what other vibes would you say? It's
retro, like, futuristic,
post-apocalyptic, The 100 vibes for sure. The special effects are excellent. The acting is excellent. The world building's excellent. Alex, what is like the synopsis of the show that you would give? It's nuclear fallout. Like there was a nuclear war.
Yeah. The retro futuristic vibes, post-apocalyptic survival show, I guess you could say.
Yeah. It's like 200 years after there was nuclear war on Earth and life as we know it is fucked. And it's been 200 years and people have been living underground and they're coming up above ground for the first time.
But there's people that have also been
already
living
up there.
On top.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like mystery and different things that unravel as you go. There's a lot of humor. It's funny, it's sweet, it's got great characters,
but also really dark
and very dark. And a lot of violence as well
and gore.
I mean, the gore reminds me of like The Walking Dead a lot. Like, I don't mind it.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We're going to do Snap Crackle Pop Culture News and what right now, real quick, before we get into Fallout, if you want to stick with us and you haven't watched it yet, so you will not be spoiled until the main discussion. So feel free to stick with us. All right, rolling into Snap Crackle Pop Culture News. What do y'all have for us today?
The Boys, season 4. Do you watch that?
I haven't finished season 3 because it was depressing me so much.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything about
2016 flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
This new season is very much leaning into that as well.
Great.
Speaking of gore, I think that show takes the gold medal for...
It really does gore kind of in the way that Quentin Tarantino does gore. Yeah. And that, like, it kind of feeds off cheekiness of the gore, like the Deadpool vibes.
It does. So, well, the new trailer just dropped, and some of the characters from the spinoff show are confirmed now to be in season 4.
Gen V.
Yeah, Gen V. Okay. So that's cool because we didn't get any confirmation about if they were going to actually be in season 4.
Did
but
you
now
watch
we do.
Gen V?
I didn't yet. You told me it was really good. It's really good. Because I didn't finish The Boys season 3 that I didn't watch it because I didn't know if it was going to like.
No,
you could watch it. Yeah.
Okay. So when's that coming out? Soon? I feel like I saw
I
soon,
think
right?
It's this month or June?
Yeah, it's very soon. June 13th.
I have news.
Okay.
Colleen Hoover news.
Oh my God, so excited.
So they dropped the first images for It Ends With Us.
Oh my God, I saw those.
Yes. But not only that, they dropped the new photos, but they also confirmed that Verity is being adapted.
I saw that too. I got so excited.
I know. That's my favorite book. And I can't wait to see that.
Oh my gosh, I'm pumped. That's so exciting for Colleen. I think Amazon's doing it. I saw Amazon Studios.
Oh, Amazon's doing it?
I thought I saw that on her Instagram, but fact check me.
Katie says she's so excited.
Yes. That's going to make a great movie. And like, we'll be able to see the other story like playing out. It will be like that movie that I really like.
Nocturnal Animals?
Nocturnal Animals. It will be like that. They should do it like that.
Did I ever watch that movie?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I want to watch
it. It's so interesting because like she's reading a manuscript and we're watching that movie of like the manuscript chopped together with her life. And the manuscript is from her ex-husband and you get the idea that like that happened to them in the past.
Oh, is it like kind of like trippy, like Memento kind of?
I haven't seen Memento, but it is kind of trippy because you're kind of trying to put together like, is she experiencing like these flashbacks of her own life, or is this like the manuscript, is it different than what actually happened? Because there's definitely tension between them. So
that's fun.
It's really good.
Claire says that she's glad that the photos look better than the pics we saw last year.
The pics we saw last year were on set, like regular paparazzi. Like it wasn't like the film.
It Ends With Us is Colleen Hoover's book. Blake Lively plays the main character. It's a story about domestic abuse.
Okay.
Yeah. Katie confirmed that Verity is coming out by Amazon MGM Studios.
Woo! Thank you, Katie. In other news, there is a book coming out very, very soon, May 21st, called Attached at the Hip that I wrote.
Yay!
And it is available for pre-order. I am going on a book tour. It is a Survivor-esque rom-com. Why couldn't I say that? Elevator pitch. It's a Survivor-esque rom-com. And I am going on a book tour, and I will be in Portland, Oregon on 5/21, May 21st. I will be in Los Angeles on May 22nd with Natasha moderating.
Moderating.
I will be in Philadelphia at Reeds & Company on the 23rd. I will be in Union, New Jersey on the 24th. In conversation with Hannah Mayer, who wrote Incessant to the Villain. On the 28th, I'll be in St. Louis, Missouri with Jesse the Reader. And then I'm going to be in Marietta, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, is what I understand. At Half Price Books, doing a signing style event, like a meet and greet signing style event. So we'll be able to like take pictures and talk, and I'll sign anything that you want me to sign. It just won't have like the event beforehand. And then I'll be in Orlando, Florida on the 30th of May with Robbie Reeds, in conversation with Robbie Reeds at Writer's Block in Winter Garden. So,
nice.
Very exciting.
Super exciting.
And if you can't come to any of the tour stops, The Ripped Bodice is doing signed personalized copies that they will ship anywhere. So it will ship internationally. They're available to pre-order until May 15th. So I will be signing those the day the book comes out at Ripped Bodice, and then they will send them out to you if you want to order those. I will leave a link in the show notes.
All right. What else, Natasha? Love Styria tickets are on sale. for Friday and Saturday, and then the book fair as well. They're all separate, but it is going to be like a like romantic-y type of ball here in Los Angeles, California at the Glass Slipper Palace. And you get to dress up and have drinks and eat and dance with your friends and and photo ops. And yeah, there's VIP tickets and general admission. If you have, if you get VIP, you get to come in early, and then you also get to have a photo shoot with Danielle McBrayer.
Oh, yeah, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Real photos.
She's a talented girly. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a photo shoot with her for Attached at the Hip next week.
Oh, nice.
Very excited.
Yay.
And okay, this is random because I haven't listened to it yet, but Dua Lipa's new album, Radical Optimism, just came out. Mm. I like that name.
I only know like her singles. I don't ever listen to her albums. Does she have albums?
Yes, she has albums. They're good.
All the hits come from the albums.
I just know the
Does
singles.
Does she have albums?
Did you see that Sabrina Carpenter is going to be on Saturday Night Live with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Of course I saw that. I commented on it and I was like, fire emoji, working late.
Do you think Taylor is going to show up at the in the audience?
Maybe they can finally like shake hands and it'd be a joke, like a set. That would be amazing.
That would be pretty cool.
Alex, have you been reading anything?
Yeah, I'm currently reading It.
It? Like, yeah. Stephen King?
Yeah.
You've been reading it for months.
Yeah, it's a long book.
It's so big. When you go to
huge.
The Barnes & Noble,
yeah,
it's like 4 inches thick. Like, it looks like a text, like a dictionary.
There's a lot of substance.
I think it's like
there.
It's like over there. It's the biggest book we own, I think.
It's the biggest book we own.
How long is the audiobook?
I believe it was like 68 hours.
68 hours?
Something ridiculous.
Harry Potter's like 28 hours.
I think one of the Outlander books was like 32.
That's insane.
45 hours. Still long. Still
That's
very long.
That's so long. Yeah. That's double the length of like fantasy novels, which are 20 hours usually. Holy shit. All right. Movies. What'd you guys watch?
I haven't watched anything.
None.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched a lot of things by myself.
I watched the same things you watched.
Yeah. Well, did you watch Argylle?
I did.
Did you watch Argylle?
It. By myself.
I didn't finish the last 10 minutes of it.
I got bored of it.
Me too. Okay, but I did like the first half.
Okay, I only watched like 45 minutes and I was getting bored.
No, I didn't finish the last 10. That's about it. There's a big reveal. Did you get to the reveal part?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know. Is the reveal that Sam Rockwell doesn't have a beard?
I haven't seen. Oh.
No. I was being quoted.
No, that's not the reveal. I was watching it last night hoping that you would come downstairs and watch it with me.
Oh.
But it's really like...
I had no
slow.
Idea.
It's so...
And not good. It's like, I like the concept, but it's not being executed well.
I just don't under... They have so many A-list actors.
I know.
Who directed that?
Henry Cavill, Dua Lipa.
I don't like the way that they're editing it.
No, I hate... That
it's
was
so
like
uncomfortable.
Dumb, dumb.
Yeah.
I do think...
Oh, Matthew Vaughn. He did Kingsman.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did recognize that it was him, and I was sad because it's being edited so weirdly. So what it is it's an author that writes spy novels, and everything she writes comes to life. So it's kind of like a Twilight Zone episode, but like funny, like comedic. But in her head, she's like in love with her love interest, who is played by Henry Cavill, and this starts coming true in her real life. Yeah. So like the spy stuff starts happening to her in her real life, and the spy is Sam Rockwell. And she keeps seeing her protagonist doing the things that Sam is doing, and it's just edited like very uncomfortably because you keep seeing everything twice. Like he does it, and then she sees like Henry do it.
Okay.
And it's just too much. Like you need to pick one or the other for each scene. Or
they
just,
were
like,
probably trying something new.
Yeah, yeah. Like they could do one snippet, but they keep going back and forth, and she's like, like over and over and over. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
I didn't mind that so much. I think it kind of lost me towards the end. I was getting a little bored there. So
what made it boring, though?
It was nothing of significance was happening.
I see.
And we didn't really understand why.
Yeah, we were just playing with this concept, but with no substance.
It's
to,
also
like, weight it.
Extreme. It's also extremely camp.
That's the vibe I got from the trailer.
I really don't like how many references there are to the cat, too, because it's not funny. And they show from the cat's perspective all the time. The cat's is like a little bubble backpack. It's CGI.
Well, Matthew Vaughn, he's very similar to Guy Ritchie. So he also did Layer Cake. I don't know if anyone has seen Layer Cake. it's with Daniel Craig, but that's like his first movie. It's very much like Guy Ritchie, yeah, so it's very British humor. That. It's heavy British humor. So.
Yeah, but it's edited in a way that feels slow.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think The Kingsman is great. I love Kingsman. Right. I love the way it's directed and edited. This is not. It's like it's trying to be that vibe, and it's not working.
Gotcha.
No one is cool enough. I hate to say this. I don't like her character.
I don't like her character either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's reasons why, which are revealed like later on.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it could have been casted differently. Christina and I also watched The Idea of You.
Oh, yeah. The new movie with Anne Hathaway. Which is Nicholas Galitzine.
It is a Harry Styles fanfic that was made into
it
a book.
Was no so really? It was so fanfic. It was like so fanfic. I was watching it with my neighbor Cynthia, and she's like, "This is the most fanfiction thing I've ever seen."
No, but it was good. It was a good fanfic adaptation. Really? I loved it.
I thought it was really cheesy.
I loved it.
It was the least cheesy fanfic I've seen adapted because it had really good actors. So like. It was coming across okay and not really bad, but it was just kind of slow and like didn't have much dialogue. There were so many montages.
And
I was like, guys, you have to talk or I don't believe any of this love story. Like, they had a lot of like sex montages. And I was like, did they talk about anything ever? Like, it was like over months.
I kind of wish, there was a little bit more like fun scenes in between here and there.
Katie says, my 15-year-old said it was cringe. Anne Hathaway, I believed her acting though. She's like really good, and that's why I took it slightly more seriously. I thought it was going to be better because it had Anne Hathaway in it.
I loved it though. I was just like, ee! I was giggling in the beginning, and then I did actually cry at the end.
I couldn't like believe you cried at the end because at the end I was like, come on.
I was in it.
I closed all the shades. I put it on at like 2:30 in the afternoon. You really had a vibe going.
I had a vibe. Honestly, I will watch that movie again. I'm excited about it. TV show, Alex and I watched The Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch that. Guy Ritchie.
I didn't think about that.
Yes, yeah. This Guy Ritchie show. It is adapted from the movie that they made.
Yeah.
Wait, what movie? The one with Henry Cavill?
No. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, I never saw that. Okay.
Theo James is so good in this. He's so cute. And Kaya Scodelario, who was epic this.
Yeah,
she played awesome. Like a gangster. Like she sounded like Adele.
Ooh.
And she was like a hard ass, but also had a little bit of a soft side. And I feel like there's something happening between the two of them. I want something to happen.
I think it's a limited series.
We're going to get season 2.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes, I think so.
It was really good. Guy Ritchie's back. So, I mean, like, I'm happy for that. I think
Guy Ritchie's back.
I think his past couple movies were like mid. Yeah, so I was
Amazon has
renewed
surprised. Fallout for season 2. Sorry.
Oh, good. Greenlit? Okay. Yeah, good. Good
I
to know.
I want to check that before we got any further. Sorry, cut you off.
Yeah, the story was good. The acting was really good. His brother was hilarious. The comedic elements, the humor was like, was there. And
I will be watching it.
It says that Netflix is thinking about a season 2, but they haven't.
Here's the thing. It's up to Guy Ritchie, though. Like, because Guy Ritchie, I think he directed all 8 episodes.
Oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense because he's like, I feel like an auteur of sorts. He wants to like have a control over the
right
whole thing.
Yeah. But he's known for movies and
well, I think a lot of movie people dipping into the
Jonathan
TV.
Nolan.
Jonathan Nolan. Well, okay, so Jonathan Nolan was on Armchair Expert, so I feel like I really got to know him.
Oh, nice.
It's Christopher Nolan's brother, for anyone who doesn't know. Christopher Nolan directed like Inception, The Dark Knight, all that. I didn't know that Jonathan Nolan wrote a lot of those scripts.
Interstellar.
He wrote the first draft of The Dark Knight. He wrote so many of them. Yeah. And I didn't realize that they were like collaborating, these brothers. Yeah. I felt like love that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you know Christopher Nolan, he has an English accent.
Right.
And Jonathan Nolan has an American accent.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
It's because they moved to America when Jonathan was like, he was like 9 or 10, uh-huh. and his brother was like 17 or something. Oh. So he took on like the American Chicago accent. All right, guys. So we're going to move into our main discussion. But before we do that, I want to take a second and thank everybody out there listening. We really appreciate you being here with us. If you're not already, we'd love it if you follow the podcast in your favorite podcasting app for free. You can also watch the podcast on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/@thoseporkingfangirls. And you can subscribe for free there so you never miss a visual episode. And if you don't know, we have a Patreon that has really cool, super fun benefits. The $5 tier allows you to watch the show or listen to the show without ads, which is great. And you also get to come to recordings and put in your two cents as we speak. Those people that we reference in the chat are our patrons. We love them. We love their input. Live makes recording so much more fun. And you get access to every single Tea Time episode, Fangirl Tea Time, that's attached to the end of every single episode that we've done so far. So 72 previous Tea Times you'll get access to when you subscribe. And that's, we tell more personal stories over there, stuff that's going on in our lives. It's really fun. We have really like tight-knit community over there and we love it. And there's other tiers too. So you can check those out in the show notes link to patreon.com/@thoseporkingfangirls. We really appreciate your support over there. We couldn't do this without you. Literally, like this is a viewer supported podcast. We don't have many sponsors, so you guys are making this possible. And there's a free trial that you can try if you're interested for 7 days. You can try out the Team Jacob tier for free and see if you want to subscribe forever. We will be right back after these messages. If you're a patron, you have no messages. And we're back! Talking about Fallout with Alex and Natasha. And we're going to start kicking this off with like our relationship with Fallout, why we wanted to watch it. We kind of got a little bit of background from Alex. Do you have any more to add about like how you were feeling about the TV show when you found out that it was coming?
I mean, I was excited. I couldn't help because I'm such a big fan.
Yeah.
But there was always like the hesitance just because.
What if it's bad?
Yeah. And video game adaptations suck. Like,
which one do you think sucks the most? Halo?
Oh my gosh. No, I mean like Halo. I mean, no, people don't like Halo.
Mario.
No, I thought Mario was like, it was okay. They're always, I mean, they don't suck. They're just like. Not like amazing, not like,
yeah,
you
the
know?
Best. Like that Last of Us. One. Last of Us
was really good.
They're stepping up their game.
Yeah. But
I've
played every Fallout multiple times, so big fan.
My ex-boyfriend John really liked Fallout, and he was so cynical about this show. And I was like, "Are you gonna watch it?" He's like, "I don't know." And I was like, "I've been hearing really great things." He's like, "I don't know." And then he was like, "Wait, it's getting good reviews." And I was like, "I know. That's what I was saying. Jonathan Nolan did it. Like, you should watch." And everyone I know who likes Fallout has loved the show. So
were you cynical about it? I know you saw a lot of the set.
I was gonna watch it regardless. I'm such a big fan, so I was like, I'm just gonna watch it and like with really low expectations and see how it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Natasha, were you down to watch it immediately?
Yeah, I mean, I was around when Alex was playing the game, and he had been playing it for such a long time. I don't know if I told this story when we talked about it, but Alex, he got really into the music. So if you didn't know about Fallout, it's set in like a retro time, like in the 1950s.
Well, it's in the future, but it's retro-futuristic. So it's got like the 50s vibe.
Yes. And they placed all of that music within the game, the video game. And so I would just hear him playing from his bedroom, and I would hear all the like old-timey music. And I would actually really enjoy watching Fallout because it wasn't like a shoot 'em up like a COD game. And
there's a lot of shooting, but there's also a lot of talking.
COD means for the non
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I sat there and I watched him play it. I think he was playing it when I was reading Twilight.
Oh.
So I would like kind of sit in his room and
this was your Twilight.
It was. I was the original.
Anyway, so the music's so good. So when we were younger, we went over to like our grandparents' house, and I think I did say this story on the podcast, but I'll say it again. We went over to my grandparents' house, and Alex was playing ping pong, and he just started singing, "I don't want to set the world on fire." And my grandpa goes, "What are you singing?
Is that the Ink Spot?
Why do you know that song?"
And then Alex like went on to sing the whole thing. He's like, "Yeah, it was in my video game." My grandma's like, "Oh my goodness. How? I don't understand. You're so young. How do you know all these old songs?" So Alex constantly plays the Fallout music, yeah, and has been for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've got my own
playlist.
Oh my God. Yeah, I love the music in the show. I do think like it's 60s vibes because of the westerns, right?
Early 60s. It's mostly 50s. It draws from 60s. Also draws from the 40s as well.
Okay.
It's around the 40s, 50s.
Maybe because of all the western shit that was happening.
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, the there were a lot of westerns in the 50s as well.
But the 60s was like the prime that we learned about.
Westerns. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but the cars are giving 50s,
and like the TVs,
the TV
as well.
Set, the yeah. hair, the dresses. Mm. We
the furniture was like giving 60s though, wasn't it?
No, I think it was like
mid-century modern.
Yeah. Well, it has a very cool vibe because it's like future meets.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. 50s, well, 60s. I always tell people it's like if you've ever seen Disney's World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you remember?
Yeah, it's like what they imagine the future
exactly.
to be, but you actually see like robots and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so if you ever see that, that's essentially what Fallout is. They made it real, you know.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. So I tried to explain this last episode, or in the episode that we talked about the show. Why did they not advance in technology, Alex?
Oh, well, there's a long answer and a short answer. The short answer is that in our world, everything in Fallout, the history is the exact same. It's all the same up until the 1950s.
Yeah.
When in our world, we invented the microprocessor, which is how we get like computers and our, you know, smartphones and stuff. And everything uses microprocessors now. In Fallout, the microprocessor was never invented. And so in order to advance in technology without a microprocessor, they developed into nuclear power.
Oh, and so that's where the cold fusion is, like, it's nuclear fusion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Okay. So all the cars in Fallout, they're all nuclear powered.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So the like everything uses nuclear energy. Like the power armor that you saw on the show, that's all powered with a fusion core.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. It's all nuclear.
Wow, that was really giving Tony Stark the fusion core. Yeah, yeah. The way that they take him out and shit. Yeah, that was really interesting, and how like they're searching for like the cold fusion technology that. Well, the company, okay, we're getting into spoilers, so if you haven't watched Fallout, but like the company bought the technology for like Everlasting Energy so that they could control it and not allow everyone else to advance, which was like so fucking fucked up.
Yeah. I feel like there's companies nowadays in our world that are
doing something similar. We're like gatekeeping shit so that we don't advance, so we have to keep using their shitty shit.
Yeah.
Mm. And
it's like the oil companies that are so against electric cars.
Exactly.
You know, stuff
like
that.
Solar power and all that shit. And that's like even stupid shit, like, you know how our sunscreen is way behind like
in the
Asian
US
sunscreens? Yeah. Because they'd have to like change their formulas, and that would be so expensive to change everything they use in the factories and stuff.
Yeah,
it's so and this takes that to like such an extreme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's disgusting.
Exactly. Like, yeah, if the worst case scenario happened, and that's now Fallout.
Alex, from the video games, I'm assuming, like, did you know all the stuff leading up to like the reveal that they caused the nuclear war?
No, that's all new. That's all new for Fallout fans. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like thought that because I've read books where that type of stuff happens. I was like, oh, I bet this is where it's going. But it was still disgusting to hear them talking about it.
Exactly. So, like, here's the thing. It's like global thermonuclear war, which is what happens in Fallout. Mm-hmm. It's a concept that is most likely never going to happen.
But
because of mutually assured destruction. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
but they still sell people on it. And that's why people buy bunkers and shit. There are bunker companies that make their living off of scaring people into thinking that nuclear war is going to destroy the world.
And that's exactly what Vault-Tec
did. And that's what this is. Yeah.
So, exactly. So we'll get into that later.
Yeah. So let's give the show a grade. So if you're going to grade it like in school, like A+, B+, C+, what grade are you going to give it? And was it what you expected going in?
I said 9 out of 10. I guess that would be the equivalent
of a
90%. That's
okay.
An A.
Only a 90? That's an A minus.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things there. No, okay. A minus.
If you
want to
give it a 93, that's a regular A.
Regular A, 93. There we go. 9.3. it's not what I expected. I had low expectations going in, so mm-hmm. I was very pleasantly surprised.
Natasha, what about you?
I would give it a 94, I guess. It's so good, and it does kind of, it reminds me of Westworld in the way, because there's so many big reveals that we're just waiting for, and the journey that the characters take.
Yeah, and the way that it's edited, kind of like from character to character. Mm-hmm.
I still think Westworld season one
is better. Yeah.
But I
thematically that just hits harder.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Fallout as a whole, and I really loved that we had a female character too.
Yes, mm-hmm. I love who was our main girl introduction. I think mm-hmm. they did a really smart introduction with Lucy, where she was like auditioning to go to the other vault, so you got to learn all this stuff about her really quickly, like in a resume. She's like, I do jiu-jitsu and I do this and do this and this and this, and I want this. That's why I should be transferred to like
Vault 32.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a really smart, like easy way to like introduce to her very quickly. And I feel like that actress did such an amazing job. She's perfect for it. She has this like
innocence,
this naivety of like the world, but she's still a badass.
She's so brave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She is such a Gryffindor. Like she's radically optimistic.
Yeah.
Because of the way she was brought up. Like their experiment worked to make people like their best versions of themselves, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because what we learn is that every vault, the president of each vault, basically whatever corporation bought their fucking paid for the vault, got to do their own experiment on humanity inside that vault for like the best possible world, like what their utopia would be. They're like, okay, you get to do whatever you want. You think utopia is in your vault.
Is that really, or they just did things for shits and giggles?
I mean, I feel like that was new lore that was dropped for the TV show.
Yeah, well, that was in the show.
Yeah.
So every vault has like their own kind of system of how they rule over whatever government it is. It feels like almost like every vault is in like a trifecta because of the way, that's what it felt like in the show.
In the show. Yeah. At least with those three vaults. Normally vaults are, they're just one vault. Yeah.
Do you think that the vault that she visits later on with the people that they did experiments on has like a vault of people? Wouldn't you think that there's a vault of like people in cryo-freeze? Like, what do you want to call it? Cryo-freeze?
So that's actually
attached to every vault?
That's the plot line of Fallout 4. You are actually from like pre-war, your character, and then you get cryo-frozen 200 years later.
Okay. So do you think, like, I would think, because obviously we don't know this. This is like, we haven't learned enough. But in the show, it feels like every vault must have another vault with, like, the frozen higher-ups or people who paid to be cryo-frozen ready to be defrozen when needed for governmental reasons.
I was thinking about that. So Vault-Tec is a very shady company. You can't get much shadier than Vault-Tec. I have a feeling that knowing, you know, Fallout lore, Vault-Tec probably just left them in the dust.
What?
Like, yeah. Like they took their money and they took their ideas
and left them frozen. And,
or no, didn't even freeze them. They just shut them out because these vaults are impenetrable. You know.
Okay, oh my gosh. But there's definitely like the people who were in 31.
Yeah, that's all Vault Tech though. The West Tech, Robco, other.
What are these other things?
So at the very the last episode when they're discussing this, mm-hmm. in their little war room, yeah. I guess you could say. Yeah.
Those are all other companies
those are all
that doing
other
the same thing
that are buying into the Vault program.
Oh, but they're not all under Vault Tech's technology.
No. Yeah, completely different companies.
Oh, fuck.
It would be like if
they were
Apple,
all working together to do this.
If like Apple was
Vault Tech. This somehow is so much worse.
It's gross.
It's so much worse.
It's really gross, yeah. But yeah, that's why like it has kind of like a cyberpunk element to it, Fallout.
It does feel
because
like that, yeah.
It's almost like the world pre-war, at least, was corporation-owned.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
For sure. It feels like if corporations completely took over...
Exactly.
Every aspect of the government and
exactly
stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like Marie Lu's Legend, if anyone read that trilogy. Did you read that, Natasha?
I read the first one.
In Legend, the United States is divided into one section, like the West is under military rule, and then the East is all corporations, and it's fucked in both sections.
Oh, I would rate it a 95, so I rate it a 1 higher than
93, 94, 95.
Yeah. I really loved it, not as much as Westworld, but I really enjoyed the characters and their journey and like how much heart they all have. I think that really mm-hmm. comes across, and even the characters that piss you off, you start to have a soft spot for. Like you start to understand Maximus, even though in the beginning it was like, "Fucking
you
stop
idiot.
Fucking lying, stupid! I can't. Like you're so selfish." Yeah. But he's grown up in this environment where nobody trusts anybody, and when you trust somebody, they always turn on you, mm-hmm. and that's so scary. Mm. And I love thrusting like someone like Lucy into that environment because you shouldn't trust anyone, but she gives everyone the benefit of the doubt even after they've crossed her, and doing that, it's like it really illustrates that like kindness breeds kindness, yeah. and it takes a little longer to get through to people who aren't used mm-hmm. to it, but like eventually they'll be like, oh, I can trust this person.
Yeah, because that world
keep
is
reaching out your hand.
That world outside the vault, her vault,
cutthroat.
Is not kind at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah. They're terrible to her, but mm-hmm. like she keeps believing the best in people right. no matter what, which is really beautiful
but
and admirable.
She also does, I mean, I feel like she grows in the way that she starts to adapt some of the darkness a little bit, you know, from the outside world.
And I love the line where the ghoul is like, you're me like 200 years ago.
Exactly.
He has become the ghoul because of all the shit he's gone through and all the mistrust he's dealt with and all that stuff.
Yeah. The pivot from Cooper Howard to the ghoul, that character.
Yeah.
The polar opposite of,
I want to know,
because Cooper
happened.
Howard is like a white knight,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. And the first time we see him, he's literally like playing like a cowboy hero,
yeah. And he says, "I don't want to kill this person in the movie,
yeah, yeah,
or whatever."
Yeah,
he was filming, mm-hmm. so good,
yeah. And he really gives off like that like 60s TV star vibe,
yeah, like John Wayne,
like trying to be like the good guy all the time, like really patriotic,
yeah.
The vibe. I really love his character and the way that we delve into it, into the past. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see more of that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There's so much
He's
that they
so
can explore.
Compelling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that they kind of left, because there was a lot of reveals in the whole show, but I like that they still left some of the big reveals.
Lots of questions.
Questions.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Nolan does so well.
Yeah.
That we're waiting for. I also think that the pacing was so well done.
Yeah.
And I always, when there's different character storylines, if we think about Game of Thrones and how long it took to get some of these characters together, we didn't know these characters prior, but I figured that we would just be following each, they're like Lucy's story. Is it Thaddeus or is it Maximus?
Maximus is his name, but it's like his knight name is Titus.
Yes.
Okay. So Night Maximus Titus. And then the ghoul or Cooper or Walter Goggins, whatever. I didn't think we would see these characters interact so quickly.
I love how quickly they came together. Yeah.
And I
I thought the same thing too. That. I thought that it was gonna give like Game of Thrones a little bit, how it's just like for like seasons, like these characters, we see them on screen, but they never interact with each other. I'm glad as well that they actually met up. I think like in what's episode one or two.
Yeah. You know what I love about Lucy too? Like she's like so like happy-go-lucky, but whenever she has to do something like soft, someone said she's like. Okie dokie. Yeah. Like, okie dokie has okey-dokey. Become like her catchphrase, and I love it.
Exactly. Very 50s.
Yes, yes. And after the show, I found myself, because I say okie dokie, but like not out loud. A lot of times it's in text, and I found myself saying it out loud. It's like, okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
It just sounds so silly. And the juxtaposition of her like murdering somebody because she has to.
Yeah.
And like her like happy go lucky attitude. And-
I think that perfectly encapsulates like the essence of Fallout as well, because when you're playing these games, you have, like Natasha said, you have like these very, you know, I've got spurs, they jingle jangle jingle. And the very like happy like songs, and meanwhile you're blowing people up with a junk,
it's that,
you know,
like Hollywood movie vibe where nothing can go wrong. But like murder and violence is exactly around you. Let's talk about what our favorite episode was, because there were so many strong ones, it was really hard. I can kick us off here, because I know when I was like absolutely hooked and couldn't stop watching, because in the beginning you're really like you're excited, but they're building a world, and you're, if you're not familiar with it, you're kind of like going along with it, taking it in, absorbing it, trying to like figure out how the world works, what happened and all that stuff, because we kind of jump from the nuclear war, like when it started, to 200 years later, and you have to kind of start filling in the gaps through like context clues. And then we get to episode 4, and I'm like, fuck, this got really good. Like, this is when Lucy is dropped off. Like, the ghoul has Lucy, and he's like, go into this like Oregon Walmart with the robot.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And
they're
going to like saw into her. He's like, don't worry, we're just going to harvest your organs. And
That set, by the way, was gorgeous. And that was
amazing.
All real.
Oh, my God. All the sets. Yeah. Yeah, the set when she walks into, is it Philly in California?
Oh, yes.
Is that what it's called?
Well, yeah.
I was like, why is it called Philly? Is she in Philadelphia already? But it's like made of all different like
junk.
Buses and junk on top of each other. And it looks amazing. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, I believe it was based on in Fallout 3, like the first game that Bethesda made when they purchased the rights to it. The first like big city that you go to in Fallout 3, it's a pivotal moment in Fallout 3, is called Megaton, and it's very similar to that. Okay. So I think they were paying homage to that.
It looks like
it was so cool.
So real.
Yeah.
Even like the, when she goes to like the flea market, and it just looks so real. All of it feels very like I'm in it. Not
lived in.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like
alive.
A set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which like so many like Netflix and shows.
Yeah.
Stuff like really feels set-y.
Yeah.
Amazon's got money. So.
They just need to spend it the right way.
But no, I agree. The ghoul episode.
Yeah. That's also
really
the
good.
Episode where her brother, who I also really love his character, because in the beginning I was so suspicious that he was going to be like evil.
Yeah.
But like, he's actually just has his own mind. Like, you know, a lot of them have this like beehive mind where like everything's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, something's up.
Yeah,
he's
something's
like smarter.
Off.
Yeah. And this is when they go into the other vault and they see all of the like dead people.
His storyline, I mean, I feel like I kind of, I put that storyline in the back of my mind, but his storyline was really good, because it kind of gave like Silo vibes a little bit, because he was just trying to figure out like
what was going
what
on.
The truth was, you know.
Yeah.
Silo is another good one.
Exactly. Very much like
it was giving Silo.
Yeah. Well, then, like when she first left the vault, I was like, wait, is she gonna die?
I was like, I knew there were people outside, so I was like, she's definitely not gonna die. But like, I was like, the radiation poisoning thing.
It's
really interesting how they deal, like the technology to deal with radiation. So I mean, this is a point that I'll just talk about it now, but I think it's so interesting that the stuff that turned them into ghouls is seemingly a medication to like cure all radiation illness stuff. That's what I think it like to help people after like the nuclear fallout. And that's why I'm assuming what's his name is like still alive.
Yeah, that was new. That was new lore for Fallout.
Wait,
what's
new lore?
The
drug?
The shot that he was taking? Was it? Or it was like an inhaler.
You have to take it through an inhaler, but like it gives like heroin. Like the way you're addicted to it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, because we learned that like it heals like anything. Like the guy has like his foot falling off and he gets the inhaler. And it grows back.
Well, so in Fallout, ghouls in and of themselves are supposed to be like immortal, essentially.
Okay. Yeah. So it's, I really love that he's immortal as long as he has the medication.
Yeah.
And then you'll start to wither into a zombie the less that you have.
Yeah. Their mind starts to go.
And their nose falls off. Like, apparently.
Always. For
when
some reason.
I was like, why the fuck is Voldemort in this show? Comes out of that coffin. I'm like, Voldemort, is that you? Like, and I was so jarred because first we see Benjamin Linus from Lost. Now, if you didn't watch Lost, you probably don't have this like automatically.
Yes,
he makes me so uncomfortable because his character scares the shit out of me on Lost. Like, you never know what evil ass shit he's gonna do. Mm-hmm. And I was just all edge, like, couldn't trust him at all. I was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
don't trust Benjamin Linus. And then Voldemort comes out of a coffin. I'm like, whoa, Lost and Harry Potter world colliding.
I have an opinion that is very weird, I do think Walton Goggins is hotter without
as a ghoul.
The nose.
Honestly, me too.
Why is that?
It's because he's like cool.
It's his personality. He's like he's like a. Like a more evil Clint Eastwood.
He's like looks good without hair.
He does, and he's got like a heart. You know, for like by halfway through that he has like a heart of gold, almost like he's like an asshole, but like he has a heart.
Oh, I mean,
And Lucy's drawing it out little
by
little
with the way he treats the dog. Meat, you know.
And then he had a dog, and I hate that the dogs can't go into the.
The
vault.
The vaults.
Yeah.
No dogs in the vaults. And they had a dog. Like, she's being so cold. Like, I can't imagine saying that.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, this show is like humans creating a Noah's Ark situation. And like being like, we're going to restart the population better. It literally is Noah's Ark. And like, we're going to decide what the best way to live is and make the best humans with our little like arcs all underground everywhere. Yeah. It's disgusting.
It is. Yeah. But it's also like human nature. So, you
know, yeah.
Which is also disgusting.
What's your favorite episode, Alex?
The last episode with all the different like drops of like lore that they announced or you know revealed. It's just, I mean, Natasha, when I was watching, I was like, what? You know, Vol-Tec dropped the bomb, you know, the first one.
Wait, did you not know that from the game?
No,
that
was
all
new.
In the game.
Yeah, that's
so who dropped the bomb in the game?
Nobody knows. I mean, you know, you wouldn't know because you just play this, you know, this one character, this one insignificant character in history. And, you know, nobody knows. The world ended.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
Well, it does in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the biggest mystery.
Thinking of The Last of Us, that's very plot-driven game, though, right? Or is it not really?
I mean, are you talking about, like, the little tidbits that we got in the show that of, like, before?
Oh, yeah, and, like, what happened with Ellie and, what happened with the zombies?
Yeah.
Is her name Ellie? Did I say that right?
Yeah,
okay.
That's like those scenes aren't in the game, so that was new as well.
Oh,
For like Last of Us 4.
So I'm just curious, because of these big drops. When you play the game, are you just playing? I guess the plot isn't as big, right? It's more about the characters.
Yeah, it's character driven. It's an RPG, so it's a role playing game. So you make your own character. You make the choices. You get to be the good guy. You get to be the bad guy. You know, it's however you want to play. And I think that's why I love them so much. But a lot of where people find like the most fun in these types of games is like the side quests. And it's the little stories. It's not the big overarching story. Plan. Yeah.
Kind of like how Baldur's Gate is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I was like thinking about D&D the way you were talking about it.
So that's interesting that you found all these big like drop so like does that enhance the game for you?
Yeah, I mean, I like
they kind of feed back into each other, it sounds it's new lore.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's more, you know, plot elements that I didn't know before, and now I know, and then, you know, playing the game, it's fun. It's you know, knowing that stuff now. So
my favorite episode was the first one because I think it just set it up so well, and so just like when we found out that this husband that she just married, and it was just like, okie dokie, I'm gonna have sex with you. And then he's gonna like fucking kill her and murder her. And then she comes out with like the wedding dress
and the gun
and like just all the action scenes happening. I thought that that was like a really great introduction.
It was really well done.
Yeah. I mean, that was like a good like first reveal too.
Yeah. It was a great way to, again, like get to know her character. Because like you said, with the sex, she's like, okay. And then like as soon as he starts being violent, she's like, okay.
Wait, I just have to say, Katie says, makes me want to go back and play again. I am playing them right now, Katie, and I am loving it all over again.
I want to know what threw you guys off kilter when you're watching, because there's a lot of reveals that are like, ooh.
Yeah.
Natasha, do you want to go first, since you just went last with that question?
Okay, so I think the beginning plot with the guy from Lost and how Lucy had to
cut off his head.
She's just like carrying it around.
The fact that it was just like volleyballed back and forth between all these characters. And then I'm like, oh fuck, now a salamander has it. Or what do they call it?
Gulper.
The gulper has it. And then I was like, wait, so you're just gonna leave it inside the gulper's body and then you're gonna come back.
Side quest.
Cooper was just like, oh, it takes like 4 days.
Yeah.
I'll come back.
No, that threw me off, and then especially when he was like first drowning her with trying to get the
gulper. Oh my god, I was
gulper.
Like, please stop. Like, oh my god, that was so uncomfortable. He's like, I'm not just doing this to torture you. You're bait.
Were you thrown off by the gore, or like were you?
Yes, and not really. I think I wrote it down, but I mentioned the boys is so much more gory, and this is like nothing compared to that. I mean, I think the pregnant woman got stabbed in the stomach, and that was, I don't like that. Or she got like shot. I don't remember.
Oh no! Her eye got gouged out.
Yeah. Didn't love that.
That reminded me of Pirates of the Caribbean with the fork in the eye.
Oh yeah. I was very confused about how the radiation worked, because I was so scared of Lucy going into the water with the gulper, and her drinking the water too.
Yeah,
that made me like.
I mean, it could be a delayed, like, radiation. A lot of times, if it's not that intense, could be like a slow.
Yeah, I think they were going off of like the game's use of radiation, and in the game it's like it's a bar that fills up. Mm-hmm. So
and
once
then she gets sick and she takes the
Radaway. Yeah.
So they have technology to help that isn't the the inhaler. Yeah. Sorry, no one can see me if you're listening. I was doing the inhaler thing.
Also, the other thing that threw me off was in the episode when they're in the new vault, I think vault 4, and then she like joins the cult, and they're all like stripping.
Yeah.
And they're drinking blood.
At first she's like, okay, and then she's like, never mind. No.
Yeah, and it's just like a normal thing where the doctor was like, oh no, I don't want to do this.
But you can have fun.
Yeah.
What threw you, Alex?
I'll go quick. It just the show in general.
That threw me.
I was just really. It was caught off guard at how well it was. It was very good. And then also at the very end, the state of New Vegas. Which is it's one of my favorite Fallout games is Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, I've heard that's like one of everyone's like. Top
games. The top ones, and. And it's gone. It's like destroyed, and it was bustling in New Vegas. So
yeah.
I want to know what happened.
You know? I feel like that's where the head honchos of Vault Tech and all the other tech are.
So Mr. New Vegas, I'm not going to go heavy into this, but Mr. New Vegas, who's kind of like, I guess you could say kind of like Walt Disney.
Okay.
Yeah. He's kind of gives Walt Disney and he pretty much made himself immortal in New Vegas. And the reason why New Vegas is wasn't destroyed like LA or New York or Philadelphia, you know, is because he actually knew that these bombs were coming and he set up defenses in place to prevent that.
It's definitely where they are.
Yeah.
The fact that Vault Tech just set off the bombs is makes a lot of sense.
Of course. It just gets worse and worse as you find out that the dad bombed the new community that was starting to thrive just because, like, it was threatening the Vault communities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fuckery.
Yeah.
That his own wife and children were up there is bonkers.
What threw you off guard?
So when I first saw that fucking gulper, I was like, what did that evolve from? Because it looks weirdly human. And then the fact that we find out, like, I was not, like, once we got to Vault 4, I was like, ew, they're doing, like, weird shit to people in here. Wasn't expecting to learn that they're, like, taking animals that are, like, resistant to radiation and blending them with humans up in their fucking gross experiment fortress. And these humans are, like, living in this vault and have, like, ancestors and stuff. And that's what the Cyclops guy is. Which is fucking, that guy threw me. I couldn't look at him. I just, like, first of all, it looked like CGI. I just couldn't. And I know, like, Lucy couldn't either. And, like, they were going for, like, us feeling really uncomfortable looking at him in the show. But it really threw me off kilter. And then learning that the gulper was human. It was like a human animal hybrid.
Katie mentions that the inside of its mouth was the fingers. They were fingers.
Yeah. I was like, ew, it's so weird. Like, what is it? Why? What
human
made that?
Fingers, yeah.
And it was, and like, humans. Moving. It was disgusting. Yeah. Oh, the machine for... Okay, so Benjamin Linus's leg gets, like, shot off, or his foot gets shot off or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, by the ghoul's
gun. Yeah, that's a really great scene, too, when the ghoul has to, like, defend against, like, a million different people.
Yeah.
But Benjamin Linus has to deliver his own head to the Republic of California to deliver the cold fusion.
Didn't he say, like, cut off my head?
Yeah, he was like, I just took a pill to kill myself, so just cut off my head. Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
And he's like, it tastes like bananas, or...
It was crazy. And she's like, wait, what? So that he can walk and continue going, the lady has this machine that she, like,
screws
onto his foot, but to screw up the stump, it has to, like, saw it clean. It's disgusting. And, like, blood's gushing out of it into this pail. I was not prepared.
Yeah.
I was like, ew. They have this technology here in this, like, little hole. Yeah, the technology is really interesting because they have, like, the stuff you would never expect them to pull out of nowhere. Like, there's that guy with all the different potions that you think is just a con artist. He is a con artist, but like, you don't think he has access to, like, the heroin drug that keeps the ghouls alive.
Yeah.
But there he has it, and he gives it to the guy, and it works, and you're not expecting it. And he's like, that guy is such a fucking idiot. What's his name?
With the Maximus?
With the stupid mustache. No. He's in Superstore. He's like a dumb rapper in Superstore that dates one of the...
Thaddeus, Katie says?
Is that his name? His assistant that comes and he's lying to him, and then he betrays him and leaves him in the thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he's I think he's still alive, right?
Yeah, he's a ghoul now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they'll see that con artist potion guy.
The doctor
guy. He needs
guy,
help because his foot is also disgusting and falling off.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he becomes a ghoul because he takes that, like, fix-all medication. And he's like, whoa, you cured me. Like, what a fucking idiot. He lives on the surface. You think he'd know about this stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like,
the medicine that they inject when they have a gash or something. Lucy got stabbed in, like, the first episode. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, she's gonna die. I was like, no, it's okay.
I feel like, so it's really interesting because that almost feels like the radiation, the technology that the ghouls have, but, like, more advanced, so it doesn't turn you into a ghoul. Like, doesn't it feel like that almost? Because, like, they use it for any big wound to keep going. They'll stab themselves with it.
The Stimpak, you mean?
Yeah, the Stimpak.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like the first version of that was fucked and turned people into ghouls.
And then, like, they perfected it, and now that's what they have in the vault.
Yeah. The Stimpaks are, I think it's just a
is it
a
an
callback.
Adrenaline shot? No.
No, I think it's just a callback to the games, because that's the, like, the healing potion,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
for the games.
But
yeah,
in the show, I feel like it's the same sort of vibe that they use it for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting.
Katie says Johnny Pemberton plays Thaddeus.
I'm really interested in seeing more about, like, the lore of the ghouls and
isn't
how they came
Johnny
to be.
Johnny Pemberton, isn't he on TikTok?
Is he?
I think I keep seeing
him
on my For You page.
I just know him from Superstore. He's so annoying.
At least on TikTok, he's very funny.
I know he's a comedian. Yeah. His character is, like, so annoying in that show.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
He's definitely a comedian. I want to know what scenes are burned into your mind from the show. There's so many. What scenes stand out for you?
I put, let's see, Natasha already talked about this, the revelation of Lucy's fiance / husband being a
right, in the first episode,
being
like a wild
the revelation that of Fault 32 and, like,
it not
and
being
that,
a Vault 32
yeah.
person yeah,
yeah
yeah
that was mm-hmm. that was crazy that burned into my mind.
Or like when they went into Vault and, like, all the skeletons were there,
yeah, all the
yeah,
dead people.
They've been,
like, what the fuck
time.
Happened?
Yeah. And it was like, we know what management is. They found out that there is no Vault 31 and that everyone who is in charge is from Vault 31.
What, and they just extinguished them all?
No, I think they went crazy in there. They realized that they're trapped in there, that they can come out, but they're not allowed to. Like, it's very much, it reminds me of Divergent. Like, they don't realize that they're allowed to go above ground.
Well,
exists.
I feel like that, because you were talking about this earlier with
yeah.
the in our world of people or these companies that own the bomb shelter. You know,
yeah.
they're scaring people into buying these
yeah.
bombs. It's the same thing in the vaults.
Yeah.
They're like the overseer's job is to make sure that these people do not leave, and they scare the shit out of them to prevent them from leaving.
Yeah, and then they learn the truth though, and they're not allowed to leave, like,
yeah.
basically it feels like they're not allowed by the company, because
I just want to point out there were one or two, like, pretty good vaults though, like, that weren't, the experiments weren't that bad.
Yeah, well, like 33
well 33 was a victim of 31, so
it was yeah. But it does feel like very tame, like,
yeah,
it
like
is.
They were living a normal 50s life.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And they were just waiting for the radiation to clear
for them to save the
yeah,
world.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
you know, the whole time Alex is like, because he's trying to explain it to me too, and he's like, yeah, there's usually like an experiment going on, and the person in charge, who was what's his face from Sex and the City,
Orson, Lucy's dad,
he knows about the experiment.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
well,
oh,
he's
okay.
From he was like an assistant at Vault Tech.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, in all of the vaults, the overseer is always, unless it, in some rare occasions, the overseer is always the person who knows what is actually
going on.
In the vaults. Mm.
Okay, was anyone else waiting to find out that maybe the older lady overseer who does she like win the election in Vault 33?
Oh yeah,
that she was one of the people
from
the beginning. I was like, is that the wife? Like, is I mean
yeah
his wife, like
Barb,
is that her name, the Cooper's wife?
Yeah, Barb Howard. Yeah,
yeah. I was wondering if that's her, because it kind of could be. It looked a little like
Betty. Like, even now, no, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No,
you don't think
no.
She aged and cut out and was a ruler person?
No. Okay. I think we'll find out what.
Yeah, you think she's in New Vegas? I feel like she's in New Vegas.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, because she was like the one who orchestrated everything.
Yeah.
So
before we learned that, I was like, oh, is that her?
Yeah.
I was trying to connect like someone from that past to that lady, because she looked like she knew what was going on. You know what I mean? She kept being like weirdly Dumbledore-y, and that like she's like asking leading questions. She's like, where were you guys? And they were like, oh, nowhere. And she's like, okay.
No,
but
sure.
she knew.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was giving me like know-all ruler vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember her name.
Okay, so the second one, the revelation of Barb when working at Vault-Tec, because like Cooper had like put so much faith and trust into Barb,
his wife,
his wife, and then finding out that she's the one who essentially came up with this idea is it's gut wrenching. It's really sad.
He loves her so much.
Yeah, And the relationship was great. And then with the relationship with her daughter was great. It was, it's,
I mean, I think her hands were tied though. Like she,
was too deep.
Yeah, she was
else.
Too deep. She couldn't do anything.
But she did. I mean,
she did come up with the idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the biggest one, I think, for me was the opening scene with Cooper running with his daughter on the horse. Just
watching the bombs.
The
go
bombs
off.
Go off. Just one after the other after the other, mm-hmm. and that the I think it was the shot. And it's them pulling the frame back,
LA.
and you just see, you could still see the horse running down the Beverly Hills roads.
I'm like, where did how did they get out of that? Like, where did they go?
They must have gone to a shelter or something.
Because
he knew where his wife wanted them to meet, I bet.
Yeah, like, I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. We have to find out.
Because, like, in...
I can picture that opening season, too, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, getting into wherever they went.
Show me more, please. Yeah. Please.
And I bet that they'll be like, you can't come to him.
There's
some time in between the revelation of what his wife decided in that first scene.
Well, they must get divorced in between there.
Yeah, because
that's right.
Yeah.
And he's not like a big famous actor.
All his money.
He talks about alimony. Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Well, because he was sponsored by that company.
Vault-Tec, yeah.
If she turned on him, she could ruin his reputation, I feel like.
She kind of did. Yeah. I mean, he was doing kids' birthday parties. Yeah. You know, So, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. There's a lot more questions.
Yeah. And how the reveal that he was the guy being the thumbs up, like that
he's the inspiration for the Vault Boy.
Yeah, and they changed it probably when she didn't want him on it anymore when they needed to get divorced, and like they made it the cartoon, but like that's based off of him.
Cooper Howard. Yeah, that was awesome.
Wild. Yeah. Wow, that was one of the best reveals too. Because he shoots it before we even know. I was like, he's got something against, I mean, Vault-Tec obviously, but like it's deeper than that. It's a personal vendetta. All right, what about you, Natasha?
The one is Lucy doing sex stuff with her cousin.
Oh my god, that was like, so funny. Like, they're in the vault and there's no one else to do sex stuff with. Yeah. She's like, it's okay when you're young, but like we're getting married now. Like, we can't anymore.
And he was like sad about it.
I know. He's like, I love you. Yeah. His relationship with the lady from Vault-Tec is so uncomfortable.
Weird.
Because, I mean, she knows what she's doing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, okay. Okie dokie.
This is my child now.
Like, I guess I'm her husband.
Yeah. Oh, the other scene that sticks in my mind is when she first leaves the vault and she sees that guy, she has water. And
she gives it to him.
She gives it to him and he just drinks all of her water. But she's just so nice to him. And he's like, do you want to be my wife? You can live here.
She said, oh, no thanks.
You. And he's like, you know, when someone gives you water, you got to drink it all.
The humor was so good.
He's not like vindictive about it. He's just like, this is just the way it is. And she's just like, oh.
He's like, I'm dying. I don't have many years left.
You'll have this house. And it's like this rundown wasteland. This will all be yours. It was giving the Lion King when like it's just a wasteland after the dad dies. This will all be yours. And he's like, I don't want it.
Yeah, Kristen, you have a few on here.
I have a few. And this scene was one of the most tense scenes for me.
Yes, I love this
scene. On the bridge. Mm-hmm. So it's Lucy and Maximus on the bridge. And Maximus is like, give me your gun. And she's like, no, let's just like try to get past them like without violence. And there's this couple, you can't really see them from afar, but they're like crossing the other side of the bridge. And they're like, let's just put our hands up. And we'll cross calmly. And the way that it's edited and written is so good. Because the whole time you're like...
It's like, just like pure tension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, and there's this terror that they're just going to like whip out their guns the whole time and have like a shootout. And they get to the middle and you can see that they look like people who have been like drugged up and really like mentally unstable. There's like boils all over them and stuff. And we learn that they're like cannibals. They're like people who eat people. And they get to like halfway in the bridge and that guy pulls his gun. So Maximus like reaches over and takes Lucy's gun and shoots them.
oh my god. It was such a good scene. Lucy's like, hey.
Yeah.
We were doing it.
That, I forgot about that. That was a great scene.
It was very good. So that scene's one of my favorites. I love the scene, like the introduction to the ghoul, because you're kind of waiting for the guy from the first scene to come back around. You kind of know that like there has to be something there. What if that's his daughter?
Who?
The old lady.
Oh.
No. I really think that old lady is somebody. I really want her to be somebody.
Old lady's name is Betty.
Betty.
Okay, her name's Betty. But like, what if she's her? Anyway, that would be weird when he like sees her for the first time. It's like, you're older than me, but I'm like a weird Voldemort. Okay. Anyway, but the scene where the bounty hunter is like, oh, we can use his help. He's the best bounty hunter in all the land. And they open it up and he comes out and just shoots him.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. And you think that those guys might be part of it, but they're just in the scene for like a minute.
Yeah.
Like, bye bye. It's really an introduction to him as like this vampire man that they just keep alive underground because he's such a threat.
Yeah.
Like, wild.
I mean, I thought, that scene was really good because we got to see, you know, Cooper Howard in that very first scene. And it's pretty easy to tell that's him.
Yeah.
But seeing that departure and you're like, oh, what happened? Oh, my God.
Why is his nose gone? Like, and then you're like, OK, well, they have technology to stay alive for a very long time, which kind of changes the game. Like in the whole, when you're looking at everyone in the show, you're like, who has been here for a very long time?
Yeah.
And they don't have to look like a ghoul, which we learned because there's the cryo freeze. Mm-hmm. And Orson's been around. I don't know what Orson's name is in the show. And Orson's name is not Orson, the guy from Twin Peaks.
The
dad.
Yeah.
Because he's also like 200 something years old, but he was cryo frozen for years until it was safe to like be alive again. Hank. Okay. And then the other scene that really scared the shit out of me in like a irksome way was when the tank things that they go in, like the mech suits, they remind me of the mech suits from Sarah J. Maas's Crescent City. But, you know, like the suits, the armor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The fact that, like, if you're in it and someone takes out the fusion core, you're just stuck.
Yeah.
And, like, you're just basically buried alive in this metal thing. That's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, help, like, don't leave me. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me that there's not, like, a safety latch in there.
Katie says major design flaw.
Yeah. What the fuck? It's like you're locking yourself in the trunk of a car and you can't get out if it turns off.
I guess that's why they have a squire.
Yeah, squire. But also,
but that's not safe.
No, it's true though. Yeah, and
squires are vulnerable.
Well, because they talked about it. You know, when Cooper the last episode when he said there's a design flaw in the torso. The armor plating. And someone, I saw a TikTok about this, but I'm veering off, but
no.
Just really quick, I saw this TikTok and I thought it was a really good detail that they put into the show, was that Cooper mentions that to that random Brotherhood of Steel power armor guy, the knight, and then he kills him, and then someone said, well, how come he didn't do that to Maximus when he first fought him in Philly?
Wasn't trying to kill him.
And it's because possibly, but he also mentioned that when Maximus was on the vertibird first talking to Titus, while Titus, the original Titus, before he died.
Yeah, the guy from New York, the Brooklyn guy from Friends, the firefighter.
Mike Rapaport.
I love him.
He is so funny. And Maximus had mentioned to him, he said, you opted for the insulated lining. So it's an upgrade to...
Oh, it's a different one.
It's an upgrade to the power armor.
Okay.
And it's implying that he wouldn't be able to use it. Yeah, that feature.
Okay, interesting.
Or the flaw.
Yeah, the flaw in the design. I love that Lucy knows the design so well, too. Like, they just have studied them and shit. And she's like, oh my God, the Brotherhood.
Yeah. T-60.
Like, oh my God, you're a celebrity. And she's like, so wowed. I love their stupid romance.
Yeah.
I think think like it's so cute. Mm-hmm. And she is that like that kindness lead that he needs to like be a normal person, you know, because he's so scared all the time. He's just being like very dickish because he's scared.
But he's also very knowledgeable. Like you said on the bridge, like Lucy would have died there.
Yeah, yeah. It's because of his mistrust that they lived. Like so they need a combination, and that's why they're like the perfect foils to each other.
Yeah.
Because they both kind of learn from each other.
It's very reminiscent of the games because Lucy would be the main character that you would play as.
Yeah.
And then a big part of all the Fallouts is that you have these companions that you can pick up along the way, and they all have their own internal, you know, plot and and story that they, you know, can tell you. And so Maximus would have been one of the companions.
Interesting. Do they have like the what is it called, the little knight assistants that you just said?
Squires
in Fallout.
There are squires. It's not in the same way that it's treated in the show, though.
Yeah,
they're like a knight and a squire.
To the squire, like,
oh yeah,
the Brooklyn guy was such an I was like, you best stop, he's gonna kill you, like you're about to die, why are you like fucking with him so hard? He's like, fuck you, you fucking idiot. Fuck, you're an asshole. And I'm like, you literally need him to live. Like, get me a fucking, what is that thing called? The pack.
Stimpak.
The Stimpak. Yeah. And he's just sitting there, like, and I'm like, he's not going to get you the Stimpak if you keep talking to that like that. Like, say please, please. Jesus Christ. The Brotherhood is very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I want to learn more about them, too.
Like, they're very gray as well. Like in Fallout 3, they were the like the good guy choice to side with because they're like a part of like the main story.
It really gives like, I am the good guy, believe me. You know what I mean? Like,
believe me.
Just
yeah,
believe
exactly,
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, I am the good guy. But it's true though too, because it's like the other options are worse, far worse, you know? So, and that's also why in terms of like factions, because that's a whole part. It's like, oh, no more factions. That's what Vault-Tec wanted. Like, you know, we're done with factions. And that's exactly what happened.
What they created, though. Yeah, exactly. With their numbers.
But
yeah.
Out of all of the factions, the NCR is my favorite because they're the most like
What's
white knightish. What?
Is the NCR the Brotherhood?
No. The NCR is like Shady Sands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
New California.
We don't get California
Republic.
Okay. We don't get to see the heyday of NCR. The NCR, but in New Vegas, they're in Fallout 1 and 2, they're very prominent.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. This is like a U-turn, but I just really love that Maximus is like literally her knight in shining armor because he saves her in that one scene.
Oh,
and
oh,
he's
yeah.
like so proud of himself because he really wants to be the good guy hero, but like he's always the asshole, even if it's by accident.
Yeah.
He just keeps fucking up.
He's probably like the most annoying character.
That's true.
But by the end of it, you're like really rooting for him. Mm-hmm. You know that he's capable. He just has to like believe in goodness in people sometimes. Which is okay, one of I think the most like the best thematic scenes is when he goes into the vault and he like takes a shower and he just like realizes what safety feels like.
Mm.
And he has
and he's
the
like
escargot.
Popcorn.
Yeah, he's
and
like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. And he's like, just watching a waterfall.
Watching a TV. Yeah,
it's just a waterfall.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, this is nice.
Yeah.
And he could just like relax. And it's just the juxtaposition of how his life has been.
But he gives it up, though,
for
Lucy.
Her. Yeah, which is I love really that. Nice. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I have to get up. Yeah, yeah. It's like when you're on the couch for a day and you're like,
damn it.
Fuck, someone needs me. I guess this is over. It was nice while it lasted. The scene with Lucy being sawed by that robot was also so good.
Yeah.
Like, because it was like, how is she going to get out of this? And then she just uses, like, her karate-ness.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because you kind of just forget, because she's just, like,
it's
everything's
because
so
she's
new
so
to
naive.
Her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But she's, like, trained.
Yeah.
In every art. To wrap up our discussion here, is there anything that you didn't like about the season, or things that gave you the ick, or things that like you would do you think you wish were like kind of portrayed differently?
Honestly, like my only gripe that I could think of, maybe if I rewatch it I might have some new opinions, but the only thing I could actually think of was in general the sets were amazing, like the superstore, and then the Red Rocket gas station. Oh, it was so good. And
is that where the dog was in the like cooler?
The cooler, yeah, yeah.
I was
yeah.
so scared for that dog. I was like, get him out of there. Yeah, yeah.
In general, those were amazing. But some of them I did notice they were reused quite a bit, like the husks of the homes in the desert. I think they reused it like at least that.
It's because they were walking back and forth from that area.
So. Yeah, yeah, they were in there a lot. Yeah.
And it was like three different times though. Yeah. And I'm like, I've seen this.
They all look the same because it was like a husk of a place. Yeah, so yeah, I think it was okay as far as the sets go to double on that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What about you, Natasha?
I mean, I wrote down gore, but I don't think that's true. I didn't like to see that dog die multiple times and be brought back.
Oh my god, I was so nervous for that dog every time. I was like, you better not kill that dog. And then he died and like came back to life. And I was just
I didn't like
it. And then Benjamin
it.
Linus died, so he didn't have his dad.
Yeah, it was so sad.
And but now he's been adopted by the ghoul.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, that's kind of it's because it's a parallel of the remember when Cooper Howard was he was walking down from the staircase and you could see this huge poster of the man and his dog. It was a movie that he did with his own dog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I was like, he's got his really dog nice. Back.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, I think everything with the brotherhood, like with when he was at base camp with them, with that cast of characters, I was like, meh. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't like the actual brotherhood scenes, but like the idea of the brotherhood is really interesting. I'm like, why were they formed, basically? Like, who do they work for?
Yeah.
So it feels like they work for Vol-Tec almost.
They were actually the remnants of like the U.S. Army. That's how they started.
Interesting. Okay.
And they are essentially just trying to preserve technology, which sounds like righteous, like in and of itself, but it's how they go about it. You know, it's kind of sketchy.
You know, another scene that really like stood out to me is when we first see humanity in ghoul version of Cooper, that's his name.
Yeah.
And he has like a friend that's a ghoul that's like really in need of medication.
Oh yeah.
And he's like nice to him for a few minutes, but then he realizes he's losing it. He's gonna become a zombie and he has to kill him, and he's like, we have to eat him. But like for a second he like shows kindness to him and they talk and they're like, how are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Acting like he's a person rather than like Lucy, who just acts like he's
a piece of meat.
He's a piece of meat in his way. Like, so it was really nice to see that like little seed of like he's still a person.
Yeah.
And then of course you see more of that as Lucy hangs out with him more. He starts to like he has like a soft spot for her almost, even though he keeps like drowning her in shit.
Yeah. but it's like you said, because he mentioned he's that you're me 200 years in the past.
Yeah, he
like,
sees her, himself in her. And he's,
so he has sympathy.
And she's bringing out like the best of him almost that still exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because he feeds her literally to the wolves to be to get her organs taken out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she comes out and gives him the medication he needs to stay a person. And I love that. Like, she persistently is like, I'm going to be nice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you kindness. And that is how we're going to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Golden rule. Okay. But the thing that gave me the most ick in the show was the fucking giant roaches that come to Murray.
Oh, the rat roaches. Yeah.
That was just, I couldn't. They're like coming to murder her. And Benjamin Linus like comes out of the darkness and he's like, you shouldn't be out here alone with his giant creepy eyes that never blink. Yeah. Like, ugh. And then they come for him in the suit too.
In the Maximus in the suit. Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm like, get the fuck off. I was like, how are they gonna eat through the metal? Like, but they'll get there somehow. They wouldn't be.
They're like low level creatures in Fallout, so they're more of a nuisance than anything else.
They're so big.
Yeah, they are. They're massive.
They're huge.
Or was it the rat bear or something?
Oh, the Yaogwai. Yeah, it's a mutated bear. That was the one that ate Michael Rapaport or killed him.
Yeah. So what do you want to see in season 2?
What the hell happened to Walton Goggins' family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
I'm really excited to explore New Vegas. I think that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that.
And I'm excited that we have like a trio of friends, like the three best friends you ever did. Well,
I mean, she kind of
like the ghoul and Lucy and the dog.
Oh, the dog. I was like, she left Maximus.
Oh, I don't care about Maximus, but like, I like their love story.
I feel like he's gonna like feel left.
He needs her to be a good human being.
But that does set us up for more Brotherhood of Steel, which is what you were talking about. So like, that's good to see.
And also it sets us up for like more of like an overarching epic love story between the two of them now that they're separated again.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, the reunion. I still think thinks that she was taken, not that he was left, you know? Cuz like she could have easily been captured by the guy again, though.
True.
Ghoul.
Yeah, he doesn't
know.
Not
gone with her willingly. Yeah.
That's a good point. I just want more pre-war scenes. They were all so good and
interesting.
Yeah, and like one of my favorite openings in all the games is Fallout 4 because it takes place pre-war.
Okay.
And then you get frozen, like I said, and then you come back 200 years later, and you get to see like the actual neighborhood that you were in before pre-war, and it's all gone. It's just destroyed.
Yeah,
and so more pre-war stuff. I love those things.
I'm excited for all of that, and mostly the character. I just love how many character moments. That's what really like makes the show. I feel like we get to know everybody. I'm excited to see more about her brother because he like has now figured out what's going on inside the vault. Mm-hmm. And then like people were being transferred to go live in the vault where everyone went crazy. Like,
oh, that's right. Yeah. And they just cleaned it up like nothing happened.
Yeah. That was all like very sketch as fuck.
Yeah.
He was like, what the hell? Oh, yeah. And then he went into Vault 31. And there was that little, like, brain robot.
Oh, Bud.
Yeah.
Bud's.
He was like, I'm going to get you. Yeah. He's like, oh, you're never mind. You're going to get in. That robot was so dumb. I loved it. He was like so low grade robot protecting all of the humans that are like the most important to the company. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Well, that is like our concludes our Fallout discussion. Did you have anything else to add?
I think that was it.
You have anything else to add? We talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we had a good discussion.
All right, Alex, what have you got for us in America's Club today?
Okay. this is a little unhinged. I've got Vault Boy,
which is the cartoon with the thumbs up.
The cartoon one. The doctor guy who turned Thaddeus into a ghoul.
Okay.
The creepy guy.
Who? The stupid kid with the mustache who's the helper of the knight.
Okay.
He fixed his foot. Remember that the creepy doctor?
I don't remember the creepy
doctor. He's like
doctor.
A creepy potion guy.
He kept coming back. And remember the
He'd
first
be like,
scene?
Foot potions? Do you want any foot potions?
Oh,
and
okay.
And he was in the very first scene.
He looked like a dead person. He was like fucking the chickens.
Yeah, he's like,
ew.
Oh, he was fucking the chickens.
Yeah, okay.
To Lucy.
Yeah. Lucy's like, stop fighting.
don't kill him. Yeah.
And then he's like, sorry.
He was just fucking my chickens.
Yeah, so that doctor.
And then Cooper Howard.
Okay, definitely marrying Cooper Howard.
Yeah, I'm definitely marrying Cooper Howard.
I'm gonna cliff that doctor so fast.
I feel like this is an easy one.
Kiss Vault Boy, I guess.
Kiss on the cheek.
Yeah,
I guess I'm just do the same thing as Christine.
I'm gonna do the same.
What else could you do, honestly? Yeah. Marry the doctor?
Hey, he's got medicine that can fix you.
I mean, you're also married to Cooper Howard, so I feel like you'll be fine.
Katie says cliffing the chicken fucker.
for sure. Oh my god. All right, well, that is our Fallout episode. Thank you so much, Alex, for being on the show.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah,
thanks,
added
Alex.
So much that we wouldn't have known at all. So I'm really glad you're on. And we are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time. So that'll be available if you're a patron. It'll start right after this. If you're not already, we'd love if you followed us on our socials, which are run by Chloe Laverson. She does an amazing job. You can follow us on Instagram. That's where we're most active, at Those Forking Fangirls. So you'll never miss when we make an announcement or when we talk about what episodes are coming up and all that stuff. And we're also on TikTok, at Those Forking Fangirls. And then again, our YouTube is at Those Forking Fangirls. We release episodes every Thursday of Chapter Chat, where we're reading House of Flame and Shadow, and every Friday of the main show. Our show is edited by Alex Polis and Ricky McBrayer. And our music is by Cole Jenkins, with vocals by Heather Troska. Thank you all so much for listening. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Bye.